You're listening to This Week in Cardiology from theheart.org on Medscape.
Hi, everyone. This is John Mandrola from theheart.org on Medscape. This is This Week in Cardiology for July 10th, 2015. This week, I'm going to talk about the FDA approval of valsartan sacubitril combination drug for heart failure, statins and aggression, and the scourge of sugary beverages. This week, the FDA approved the combination tablet valsartan and sacubitril for the treatment of patients with congestive heart failure. The Novartis drug was formerly known as LCZ-696, and it is the first in the group of ARNI drugs, that is ARNI, angiotensin receptor neprilysin inhibition. The approval was based on the 8,000-patient randomized controlled clinical trial called Paradigm Heart Failure, which was published in the New England Journal of Medicine and presented at the European Society of Cardiology meeting last year. Novartis will call the drug Entresto, but I don't like to use brand names, so I'll call it an ARNI drug or valsartan sacubitril. Paradigm compared patients with heart failure class 2 to 4, ejection fraction 35%, with either the ARNI drug or enalapril. The primary endpoint was a composite of cardiovascular death or heart failure admissions, and it was significantly less in the group of patients taking the ARNI drug. The overall death rate, which was a secondary endpoint, was also lower, 17% in the ARNI group and 19.8% in the enalapril group. So this drug will be expensive. Some estimates have it over $4,500 per year. Heart failure experts are enthusiastic. Mainstream media writers are also enthusiastic. And there's a lot to be positive about the new drug and the Paradigm trial. There were a large number of patients in both study groups. Baseline therapy, background therapy for heart failure was good. ARNI drugs have good biologic plausibility, and neprilysin inhibition makes good sense. So does angiotensin receptor blockade. Both primary and secondary endpoints were significantly positive. They weren't even close. And you may say hospitalization for heart failure is a soft endpoint, and it is, but overall death is certainly not a soft endpoint. And safety looked very reasonable with the drug. But I'm sorry, I'm concerned. I have a number of concerns. First, the comparator arm featured a low to moderate dose of enalapril, and the ARNI group had a very high dose of valsartan. So was angiotensin receptor blockade equivalent in both groups? Was this a straw man comparator? Second, there was an active run-in phase with this trial in which 12% of the patients dropped out. And I'll remind everyone that there are no active run-in phases in real-world practice. The absolute difference in death was 2.8%. And the translation of that is that 97% of the patients in both groups got the same result. That is, they didn't die. The mean age of the patients in this trial was 63. This was a young group of patients. 80% were male. So how does that translate to the millions of elderly patients with multiple comorbidities? The trial was terminated early. This introduces bias. The trial was done in more than 1,000 centers, so that certainly raises questions about quality control of the data. Low blood pressure was significantly more common with the ARNI drug, and anybody who treats patients with heart failure knows that low blood pressure is a significant concern. Next up is value. Value is defined as benefit over cost, and I'm asking, I don't know, will the benefits of this drug justify its cost? And finally, my final worry is distraction. As someone who sees patients in the real world, I worry that this one single drug, the excitement over this drug, will distract both patients and doctors from the treatment of the multiple comorbidities of these complicated patients. For instance, will it take our eye off the value of old-fashioned therapies like exercise and good diet and sleep. Next up is an interesting study on statins and aggression. As background, low cholesterol levels have been linked to aggression and non-illness-related mortality, such as accidents and suicide. So the UCSD statin study sought to examine non-cardiac effects of statin drugs. The researchers randomized over 1,000 patients, two-thirds men, to a double-blind, sex-stratified study in which they tested placebo, simvastatin 20, and pravastatin 40 over a six-month time. Measures of aggression were the primary endpoint, and the researchers also looked at other things that might affect aggression, like testosterone and disordered sleep. This was an NIH-funded study, and the investigators found sex-statin therapy interactions. In men, interestingly, in men, statin therapy reduced aggression, but in women, especially in postmenopausal women, statin therapy increased aggression levels. In men, lower aggression was weakly tied to lower testosterone levels. And interestingly, there were outlier males that had marked increases in aggression, and in all cases, these men were on statins. The authors note that opposing direction effects based on gender may seem counterintuitive, but in fact, bidirectional effects of statins are not uncommon, say glucose, cancer, and possibly cognition. The authors provocatively speculate that there may be a statin drug antioxidant prooxidant duality. And the lead investigator, Dr. Beatrice Golem, had a really great take-home message. She said that when behavioral problems arise, that we would do well to be suspicious of medications first. And I certainly concur with that. And I mention this study because not that it is definitive in any way, but because it emphasizes the notion that medications like statins don't just move one number, like LDL. So as doctors who take care of people rather than diseases, we would do well to keep that notion that medicines have numerous effects in the body close in mind. Next up, I'm going to talk about sugary drinks. And this may seem like a soft, non-technical topic, but it is not. Obesity as a medical condition dominates my clinical practice. Some days, almost every patient I see is either overweight or obese. And people don't get obese by accident. It may not be easy to say this, but obesity is pretty simple. It occurs because of calorie excess. And sugary drinks are an increasingly major component of calorie excess in many patients. So researchers from Tufts, Harvard, and Imperial College in London did a modeling study in which they did interviews on over 600,000 people, and they sought to look at the effect on cardiovascular burden from sugary drinks. And the results were staggering. Listen to this. Worldwide, the study's model projected that over 184,000 deaths could be attributed to sugary beverages. And surprisingly, this was not just a high-income country problem. Middle-income countries had the most burden of this. Japan, as a country, had the lowest burden, and Mexico ranked very high in burden from sugary drinks. And my reasoning for mentioning this study is that as a person's doctor, we're expected to give them good counsel. And eliminating sugary drinks is a single, easily modified therapy, piece of advice that can absolutely have great impact on a patient's health. For instance, the more we learn about atrial fibrillation and atrial fibrillation therapy, the more we understand that calorie restriction, weight loss, combined with exercise, may be the best antiarrhythmic drug we have. I have a rule on drinking Coca-Cola. My rule is 60 miles or more on the bike or a hotly contested bike race during the summer or hot weather months, and then I allow myself a cold Coca-Cola. And And yes, by all means, I believe that we should tax sugary drinks to try and decrease the population burden, and I agree with Mayor Bloomberg on this. So that's it for this week in cardiology. Until next week, this is John Mandrola from theheart.org on Medscape.
You're listening to This Week in Cardiology from theheart.org on Medscape.